Hi there. At the top of this episode, Matt breaks some pretty shocking news that ended up being false.
I come to you today with my tail between my legs, you guys. Listeners, I want you to know that I love you guys. I would never provide you with information that was incorrect. However, you're about to hear us yap on about how Hugh Hefner has passed away at the age of 91. You guys, he is very much alive.
At the time of recording, he is very much alive. But we know what? It opens up the show, this episode. But we just roll with it. We hope you can strap yourself in for the ride.
You know what, guys? Clickbait is real.
Yeah.
And sometimes clickbait can be really shockingly detailed and fucking fake as fuck.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, honestly, I'm telling you, he was dead at the age of 91, found in his home. They went into detail about how, like, he had been, like, succumbing to illness for some time. Listen, the man is alive. He's alive.
But you know what? We sort of look back on his legacy, and all of that still stands. So enjoy the episode.
Yeah.
We're so sorry this was fake news, but enjoy it.
Thanks.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about henna, henna, henna. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Fino, ande.
Ding dong, Love's Culturistas calling.
Bowen, guess who is dead?
Who's dead?
Hugh Hefner.
Oh my, wait, what?
Wait,
today?
What?
He died. Just now.
What? Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God. What?
Dead at 91.
Wait, what?
You waited
Natural
until
causes.
We went.
Yes, I did wait.
You just
and this
found
is,
this out?
Yes. Peter's, Peter's jumping
talk?
In. Well,
no, Peter,
I mean,
no, please, please.
Absolutely not. But now that you have, let's welcome our guests
I mean,
into the conversation.
Not. Okay.
No, no.
Wait, and
absolutely not.
All three of us will talk about this. Okay, everyone, we have an incredible guest with us today.
Amazing.
Amazing.
They were floored by the information.
They were floored by the information. She's such a wonderful performer. You've seen them perform at Caroline's on Broadway. They have a show coming up August 26th at the Duplex. And you saw them open the I Don't Think So Honey Live first installment with their amazing impression of Annette Bening.
Look for that.
Look
again
for that
in the future.
Please, please, please do. And they're going to be at the second live show on August 11th.
Yes.
And they are a star in the upcoming limited series on Forever Dog podcast called Turner Masters Memory Hospital.
A star in it.
A star in it. And we might have a little role in that, too. We can't wait to listen to it.
Yes, absolutely. Oh. And I think their name is
Peter Smith.
Now, Peter.
Uh-huh.
What say you about the death of Hugh?
I need to see a tweet notification or some kind of proof because I...
Oh,
Peter needs to see the body.
I just, like, don't... It's so shocking to me.
This
can you believe? Talk about a death of culture.
But I'm sorry, yeah, this is the world we live in, though, now, where we don't believe news unless it's in a Washington Post notification.
Confirmed dead.
Yeah, well, the magazine is shifted now, right? There's no naked.
No.
I feel like, it's changed.
Yeah.
Right?
Now it's like a lifestyle, just a general lifestyle magazine. And there's just funny articles and such.
I think it's like kind of important.
Playboy, absolutely.
But like the death of him kind of is like
it's
the death
huge.
Of this like sexual thing that
absolutely.
He kind of caused.
Was he a gross guy?
100%.
Yeah.
But also not in a pejorative way. I mean, oh, I'm not saying this like in a negative way as to like, shame that. It's,
right.
It was important. What he did was important.
Well, I guess it's different for every woman, right?
Of course.
Whether they all felt, I'm sure we can't gauge whether they all felt empowered doing that.
No, that's not up to us.
That's not up to us. You know what? Not even close. Not even at all.
Then I rescind. I retract my previous statement I made 30 seconds ago. I have no opinion. I have none.
That's your cultural right.
That's my cultural
rule
right.
Rule number 48. No, rule number 43 of culture, because I'm sure we haven't had 43.
Yes.
It's your cultural right to
take back
an
opinion. Absolutely. Absolutely. Peter.
Yes. How about that?
I agree.
Peter, okay, so I'm sorry. We just launched right into this. Wow, this is a first for the show.
What's a long-held opinion of yours? Go.
A long-held opinion about what? Anything?
About anything.
Anything.
What have you held an opinion about all your life long that you'd like to take back?
This roller coaster started, and we're on it.
This is it.
An opinion I've had my whole life, I don't know, that, like, dudes look great in makeup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But you, and I mean, the rule is, I agree too. The rule is you can retract that, but we're not doing that.
I'm not going
to
retract it.
Just let you know,
it.
You can take back that. If you want to.
If I want to, that's
if you
rule
see me
43.
In a full beat later and you don't think it looks very good, you can
I'm
take it
sure
back.
I'm sure it'll be gorgeous.
But Peter, I want to say, not to play devil's advocate, but I've been wearing makeup this week for just for shows and such. And I
saw.
And, oh, yes, that's right.
You've been in makeup 3 nights out of this week.
Incredible.
I think I look just awful.
Well, you're talking about your sluck makeup. Can we talk about sluck?
We can talk about sluck.
We can talk about sluck. But here's the thing, Peter. You don't understand. Bowen came out for Night Soap in his actual beat that Ruby Rue, what's up Ruby,
Hi,
did
Ruby.
To Bowen. And you don't understand, the crowd gasped.
I'm
because
sure.
of the beauty.
Sure.
But
the gorgeous beauty.
I refuse to sit here and tell you that you look bad. And I don't, you're lying.
I just, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard for, I'm going to say it. It's hard for Asians because our eyes are so almond. So Ruby put on a lot of liner, and my eyes just disappeared, and I just looked like a beautiful skull.
I think Drew looked like a glamour puss.
Okay,
I'm
thank
sure you.
You
looked like one of the most beautiful creatures ever to grace a stage.
It was shocking when he came out, and I had been seeing him all day in the makeup, and Bowen stepped out into the light as Veronique.
Oh. As Veronique.
And I was like, oh my God, she's here.
Uh-huh. Speaking of beautiful stage visions,
yes,
I just want to, and it's because Peter's here, but it's also because I truly believe this to be empirically true.
Mm-hmm.
Most beautiful thing I've ever seen on stage was Peter at Carnegie Hall at the Three Busy Debras show.
Yeah,
that's very
Angel
kind.
Wings, a mesh see-through top.
I keep forgetting I didn't have any clothes on.
You looked amazing, Peter.
That was my introduction to you as well.
Really? Oh. That was your first time seeing them?
First time ever.
It was the first time I ever saw you too, because
wow.
I could see everybody in the. Because all
yes.
the lights were
right,
on,
because
you couldn't afford to turn
on.
The lights off.
Wait,
what?
You
what
couldn't afford to
that?
Turn them off?
What hall was that?
I
Senkel? Vile?
No, Vile.
Vile Hall.
Vile
we
Hall.
We had the Vile Hall.
Ah, of course.
Because, you know, famously, Carnegie Hall, not just one hall.
Oh,
of
no.
Course.
No. There
in
are,
fact, three.
Yeah, Trois Hall.
But it's an honor to perform in any of them.
Absolutely right. An honor. And expensive.
An expensive
well,
honor.
But okay, explain to me this whole light situation. It would cost you money to turn them off?
There are so many. I mean, you know. You guys ever heard of unions?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
my dad's a union man.
Yeah. So they're great. And they apply to Carnegie Hall. So there's just lots of stuff that if you need this to be done, you'll have to hire someone to do it.
Union guy.
And then you get, you know, it's just like
a union
or girl.
It adds up.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Okay, because you would have, if you turn the lights off,
we would need
have to
a tech
hire.
Person.
Eggs. I see. That makes sense.
And 100%. That's like another $1,000.
Another thou. Peter, how are you?
How am I?
Yeah.
This weather that is kind of not to talk about the weather.
No,
but
no,
it really,
no, it's taking
as
me
we're
as
now
well.
In the heat of summer, and then today had this kind of chill.
Yes.
Really
you know,
appreciated it. Just
over the
kind
last,
of,
yeah.
It's mm-hmm. been so much, and this has been nice. Over the last several days, I've been saying to myself, am I really sick,
mm-hmm.
or do I just live in Manhattan? Like, oh, yeah. I feel I'm constantly covered in a film.
Oh, yeah, you're an uptown girl. I forgot
uptown
about that.
Girl.
You are
Spanish
uptown.
Harlem, living the life in Spanish Harlem,
I mean,
living life just like a movie star.
There is a rose in Spanish. Oh, that's such a
yes.
I love that song.
Wait, which song was this?
Spanish
Maria,
Harlem.
Maria, Maria.
No, I'm saying there is a rose in Spanish Harlem.
Oh.
Do you know this? Does anyone know that the Elton John...
We were singing
too.
Two different Spanish Harlem songs.
Yeah. Here's a third. It's an Elton John deep cut.
Oh.
And now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to see.
Elton?
Elton.
Elton.
Elton's
no,
I felt like Elton was here.
When's Elton gonna die?
When's he? Oh,
oh man!
Don't bring
sorry,
that up here.
Sorry. I went there.
Okay,
you went there, and we loved it.
No,
we want to talk about the legends dying.
The legends dying.
You know who's gonna be a sad one?
Who?
Stevie Dubs.
Stevie.
Yeah.
Ones.
Now
Stevie
I think
Dubs. Oh,
I had to. Think, okay, Dubs.
My
Dubs.
First
yeah,
Stevie
Dubs.
W wonder.
We not know. That Stevie Dubs isn't like maybe the one Stevie to rule all Stevies,
mm-hmm.
but whenever I hear Stevie,
oh,
I
Nick.
Think Max. Oh, whenever any of the Max and the Fleets die, once that happens, I'll be a wreck. No, Joni. When Joni passes,
when
oh
Joni
my
dies.
God.
Oh yeah, no. Everyone always talks about that. Everyone's always like, God, when Joni Mitchell goes, I'm like, stop saying that.
She was hospitalized 2 years ago.
Oh, right. Well, just be like a breeze through the plains. Yes. And like every wildflower will quiver. Yeah. Quiver.
Yes.
And they'll make a sound like a flute.
Yeah. You'd be like, ooh.
Yeah. And they'll know.
And the caves will echo. It'll be
when Joni dies, the plants will know first.
Yeah.
And every child in Canada will be orphaned.
And Mark Wahlberg will flee the town that he lives in with his family.
These plants are talking. These plants are talking.
Peter, we are going to ask you what we ask all of our guests.
Yeah.
And that is, what was the culture that made you, a young Peter, think, culture is for me?
Yeah, so it's the culture that made you say to yourself, you know what? Now I'm ready to think about this.
Yes.
In terms of your growth.
The film Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, wow. Julie Newmar.
Reads.
Amazing answer.
Reads.
I would watch that straight up on a loop.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Because that was like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm. That's, yeah. I was that's, like, oh, Leguizamo. That's what I'm supposed to. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
I did.
Wow.
In terms of what? In terms of like. Like comedy performance or like
gender
like
played around.
It was just like, oh, these like guys that are born with a male bod like are mm-hmm. fucking around with shit.
Love
you know?
It.
And like funny performances, like good performances.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In a real way.
Like like in a just like being honest. And then like the small town. I love a fish out of water.
Yes. Mm. Fish
and
out of water.
And those were three fishes
out of water.
Of water.
Okay, and you said you mentioned small towns, and does this sort of track back to your origins at all, or no?
I mean, I was in like the burbs, small suburbs of Chicago. So yeah, it was a kind of this like, this like community, whatever. But then I did drag in fifth grade.
Yes.
Wow.
Wait. Okay. Well,
in what capacity?
Just oh, like you have to. I have it on YouTube.
What?
My dad filmed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Incredible that he filmed it.
Very incredible.
Yes. Give us, paint it for us with words.
The blue velvet curtain opens.
Oh, shit.
I am standing with like a blonde, kind of like bump it with that flows down. Mm. A little bit of a Zsa, there's a Gaborness to my look.
Right.
Zsa.
Like, because I'm kind of like Rubenesque, fat fifth grader. And like, this hair is big and peroxide blonde, and then I have this like cape on and I'm all black covered up. Mm-hmm. And then the beginning of I Will Survive starts.
Oh.
And I didn't really get the lip sync thing. I was like, no, I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
Like,
over
I'm
the track.
I'm supposed to sing. Like, this isn't a lip sync. This is like, I will. So I sang over the track and they're like, you want your mic on? And I was like, of course I want my mic on. So I kind of bleated along with the track. Did this like reveal with this cape to like this sparkly look. Had someone backstage hand me a boa. It was like a fully produced.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
it's the greatest performance I've ever
How
had.
Did this opportunity arise?
The fifth grade talent show.
Oh, it was a talent show, and you did drag in the talent show.
I
That's
closed
incredible.
It out.
You closed it out?
Of course.
What can follow that?
Fucking a baton twirler?
It was
fucking the popular girls doing a dance to what?
No.
Fucking the girls.
Overprotected by Britney?
Janet Jackson.
All for you, right?
Always all for
it
me.
Was it was always all for
but
you.
See,
all those
song.
Stupid
so
bitches were doing dance routines
no,
to all
stop.
For you.
It's a great
they all
song.
Were. And guess what? Rule number 101 of culture. Janet
Jackson
all for you? It wasn't
was,
for you.
No, I did not finish that rule because I don't know that.
Are these rules also opinion? Can you take them back later?
I was exactly going to say, I rescind this
Thank
rule.
Thank you, Peter. You can take back any opinion.
You can take back any opinion, and that includes rules, and we've just built a new rule into the rules of culture. Thank
it's
you,
incredible Peter. How cyclical it all is.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, Peter, mm-hmm. you took it upon yourself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like a resourcefulness thing as a fifth grader. You were just like, oh, I'm going to dress this way.
Yeah.
And it was just, there was no friction about it. You just did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would wear like skirts at home or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like just like with my sister, we'd like fuck around. And then like, of course, until like middle school, you're not like, well, at least we weren't really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't like boys, girls.
No.
Right.
So we had this like sleepaway thing where it was like the boys and the girls would sleep separate, and mm-hmm. every time that would happen I would be with like the losers because it was like no, didn't have any like dude friends.
Yeah.
And then I in fifth grade was like, oh no, this is hilarious, I'm going to do this.
Wow.
because like I didn't think like, oh, I need to express this because it doesn't really exist yet, but like this is hilarious.
I'm going to posit that around fifth grade, like you're 9, 10, however many years old, but I just distinctly remember fifth grade being like the beginning of what I thought I started to like absorb was like being internalized and like
yes.
developing within me.
It's when you awaken sexually, right? I mean, well, the majority of people, and it's
like
not,
a conscious,
that, not that it has to do with, exactly with sexuality, but like you start to become conscious or more conscious of how the world sees you and how you're responding to what you're supposed to be in the world.
Yeah. Yes. You get social, so then you get like fucked up.
There you go.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's it.
I remember that was when it all kind of went to hell for me and being self-conscious. Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wasn't there. Like I wasn't the kind of person that was like, oh, this is funny. This is all a construct. I mean, that didn't become aware to me until like, I guess like 2 or 3 years ago, honestly, where I actually knew what the sentence gender as a construct like
yeah, was. What it meant. I mean, but it just seems like you were very precocious though, Peter.
I guess.
Mm.
Own it. I was.
No, you know, own it.
Sure. Yes. What does precocious really mean?
Like,
to me, sometimes I think
define.
It's like a bad thing.
That you're ahead of your own time. That, no, oh God, no, this sucks. It's like a precocious child is like a child who behaves in sort of
an advanced manner.
In an advanced manner.
Okay,
that's
I'll
it,
take
yeah.
Yes, yes. Sure.
You're
yes.
an old soul.
I told when I was a kid people would say that.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'd be like, why? You know, or like, shut up, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know. Shut up, you.
It is like an irritating thing to say to someone.
Well, when you're a kid, and then
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, yeah. You're a really old soul. Like, what does that mean? I'm not fitting in, and you're calling it out? Because I'm aware of that.
I'm something different than every. Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for underlining that.
Uh-huh.
Chi Wong Fu, God, I
drag for, movies in general.
Drag movies in general, right? Yeah.
Mrs. Doubtfire. What, except some of those are like fucked up.
Is RuPaul important to you?
RuPaul. The opening of Tu Wong Fu, she like comes down in a Confederate flag dress.
Wow.
Right. Because she's hosting this drag competition.
Yep.
So, and then she doesn't come back. It's like there's this like cameo from someone who's like actually an amazing drag queen.
Yes.
Right.
This movie that then these three straight dudes take on to do. But
these dilettantes.
RuPaul right now, I don't watch Drag Race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is there a reason for that?
No.
Yeah, just not interested.
Yeah, and then I would like seeing it live more.
Yes, totally.
Like even like comedy specials, I'm like, this is funny, but like it's
I
so much nicer
be in the room.
To be live.
Absolutely.
It's interesting that there's a whole, now millions of people that watch RuPaul's Drag Race,
mm-hmm.
and the vast majority of them have never been to see drag live.
Exactly, which
and
is
kind of
too bad.
Yeah, and wouldn't understand what drag even is live. It's so funny to me, like when people kind of take issue with drag queens for their behavior on the show. It's like, well, you've never been to a real drag show then, and you've never seen drag, because if you think like this is subversive what they're allowed to get away with on VH1, like you don't even understand
rose petals sprinkling from your head.
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Well, you saw that. Oh, you saw us do that live, and that was a tribute.
And I've seen money. Yeah, it's like that's kind of that was an iconic moment in whatever the
yes.
drag
it's
race.
Become a quite the meme.
It's become a very prolific meme.
I'd say out of the 9 seasons, I'd say it's in the probably top 10 iconicized images
of the show. Yeah.
And like intentionally, like there was a lot of thought put into that.
Yeah. I think she knew what she was doing.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, other drag movies.
Some Like It Hot. That was my grandma told me to watch that.
Ooh.
Because I would like burn out the Tu Wong Fu tapes. Then she was like, why don't you watch this one? And then that one is funny, because like Jack Lemmon.
In what
funny.
Way is that movie funny? Is it like it can't get?
No, the joke is like they're boys actually.
Right.
Which it just like I don't know. I was just like soothed by seeing like dudes with dresses on. And
you
have to like exist in this world, and like I get that whatever.
And they were doing it,
usually the punchline was the thing where it's like, oh no, this is, I guess bad. Like Mrs. Doubtfire at the ending, it's like you don't. Do that because then everyone's mad at you and it's very wrong.
Yeah.
So then it's like,
you
that's
liar.
Fucked. Yeah, like you
deceitful, deceitful man.
All of it's there. It's kind of fucked. But the rest of it is great.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Sally Field.
Sally.
The whole time?
Yeah.
You know that line reading.
I haven't seen it in a minute. Oh, I've seen
oh,
it.
Oh, I thought you haven't seen it at all.
No. Oh my God, Joel was talking to me about that show Emerald City.
New Wizard of Oz.
It's like sort of a Game of Thrones layer on top of like a Wizard of Oz prequel.
On NBC.
Where were our readings?
Yeah. Why didn't we go in for that?
Yeah.
And apparently Ozma, so in the Frank L. Baum books, Ozma,
Who's
Ozma?
Ozma is like some princess. I don't quite understand the whole mythology.
I don't know her.
So thank you, Matt. But Ozma is apparently born a princess and longs to be a boy.
Oh.
And so there's that journey. But then so that's very interesting. But then in this show, for some reason, the creative people behind this show took it upon themselves to complicate that by having Ozma like talk to the Wicked Witch of the West, who is sort of a sympathetic character, and the witch wants to help Ozma transition, but then the other witches are like, no, Ozma, Oz has to have a princess. So then, for some reason, this is just an added thing Joel was telling me, Ozma's like resigned to
staying ghost, their gender,
going back to being female. And I was, and then we were just all like, why would they do that? I don't know. It's like, this is a Wizard of Oz prequel in a high fantasy world. Let's throw
attack
in
gender.
Yeah, let's go in there.
Let's talk about it, right?
Yeah. And be get so off the mark.
Dirty.
It's just
anyway.
Yeah.
I think people are like really, they're trying to get on the ground floor a little bit with that.
It's about the next thing. It's like, well, they ate ass on ABC. Yeah. So what do we got to do?
Did they actually?
Yes.
Where?
On How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh,
those
right.
Boys ate each other's buttholes.
That's nice.
Right up. They ate it right up.
Wait, what's that guy's name?
Jack Fallahy.
And the other one?
Connor Rickamora is the guy's name.
Who is in
he's actually gay.
Yeah.
But they play.
He's
got
a cute face.
They're both super cute. In fact, we went to college. We didn't know him, but we went to college with Jack Fallahy.
I couldn't point him out.
Yeah,
I couldn't point him out.
He's handsome and
ate ass on television.
Ate ass on TV, and you know, for ABC, I guess that was a lot. But now it's funny because they're all they're, it's funny that you say that because they're all like, all right. How do we do the next like outrageous thing that may or may not appropriate
it's
a whole
so
group of
outrageous.
People?
It's so outrageous. Yeah. It's. I mean.
Also, the way that the guy got his butt ate was so funny. Like
describe it.
They were having dialogue and like making out, and then the guy just like flips him over very like kind of like cinematically,
Cavalier.
And the guy just throws his head back and goes, "Oh,
oh yeah," like
that's how it happens.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Explosion.
And at home, all the middle-aged women watching it were like, ooh, I felt it on my butt.
Uh-huh.
Because he was such a good actor.
Uh-huh. And then all, like, of us are just, like, kind of watching the highlight reel, and it's like,
yeah.
I heard the 8S on television. Did you see this? The 8S on television.
Yeah.
Here's the link. Watch this.
Yeah. All I need is the link.
Yeah.
So we never consume it just from the primary
No, it's
stories.
Just like Rick and Morty eating ass on television. Watch this.
Yeah.
Bunch of pervs.
Rick and Morty gets
around.
Butt ate by Fallahy. 34-second clip.
Yeah.
I mean,
context? No thanks.
I think that's my media diet now is just compilation videos. I was literally talking about a compilation video. Wait, what was I talking about when I came in? Something.
Oh, when you came into the to
yeah,
the
into
to
this
the
room
into this room
to the space.
It was a compilation about something. Oh, it was about why Hilary Swank. One in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Why everyone in Hollywood
that's
hates.
That's negative content. Why did you
it's
watch
so negative,
that?
Because listen,
he was interested.
I fell for the clickbait. I fell for it. And
yeah,
there are such negative compilations.
It's awful. There. It's awful. And I love Hilary Swank so much. And I was like,
do
why?
You?
Yes, I'm telling you.
You're wondering why everyone else doesn't.
I'm wondering where, yes, that, and I truly was changed by her SNL episode because it had some of my, it had a great.
She played a good Heidi Klum. She did.
She played a great Heidi Klum. She was.
What year was this?
2003 or something. She,
long ago.
I need to watch
her
it.
Her musical guest was 50 Cent, and the first sketch was this morning talk show called The LA Face, I think, and it was about the Botox lifestyle and all
yes.
the women had Botox.
LA Face.
Or something. And Hilary Swank played this Botox woman. And
I'm chuckling.
Botox woman.
This Botox woman, I'm sorry. And she and her story was, her character was that she was operating so she was like, I work in the entertainment industry, so I had to get Botox. I felt I had to get Botox. And then Maya Rudolph plays the host, and she's like, here's a photo of you. Here's a before photo of you. And it's just a really nice-looking headshot of Hilary Swank with, like, a Universal Studios roller coaster behind her. She was like, yes, I work in the entertainment industry. I operated the roller coaster at Universal Studios. She was just very committed and good, and I was like, I love Hilary Swank now. Mm-hmm. I always have.
It's true. Whenever they come on and they host a damn good episode of SNL and they're committed and they can pull it off, I do have a more respect for them. Definitely. And when they're trashed, I'm done.
Christina Aguilera had a good episode.
Yes.
Yes, she did.
Or she kind of just killed it with that Samantha. Impression.
She did a really good
but
Samantha.
Like that was
and that
important.
Was transphobic. Yeah. As
and that
well.
Was transphobic
I'm
too.
A dude.
Yeah. Like, what? Samantha?
Uh-huh.
I do live in the meatpacking district. Yeah. I was like, come on.
She did a good voice.
A
and
good
also,
voice,
wait,
bad.
She's also the musical guest. She did one of those, like, double turns.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Like, I can do it all. But she can do it all. Have you seen Burlesque?
Speaking I love.
Of culture that then catapulted me into any
new
kind
height.
Of new height.
My favorite scene in Burlesque is Cher's like, I gotta go home. And they're like, Cher.
You gotta do a song.
The thing is, we set the lights and we rehearsed. We it's all ready for you. It's all set up. Mm-hmm. She's like, all right, just one.
Yeah.
Puts her shit down. Fucking slays
yes.
this like huge ballad.
You haven't seen the last of me.
Of me.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Oh my
you
god!
Need to.
And I That's hear a... Kristen Bell plays a great.
She does. There's
monster.
Like a hot guy
She's a
who's
bitch
like
goddess.
Always kind of naked, walking mm-hmm. around, being like, "Wait, why?
What's
like,
his name? What's his name?
Oh. He has eyeliner on the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's his name? He's hot.
Yeah.
Cam Gigandet.
He's
Cam
just one of those
Gigandet.
Like you'll see him and you're like, "Oh yeah, you." We someone was trying to make us like you for a while.
Yeah,
he was on the OC as Marissa's like edgy like boyfriend who like maybe was abusive.
Not Oliver Trask.
No.
Oh, okay.
Later on in the season, like right before she like died in a tragic car accident.
Oh, this is season 3. Okay,
did you watch the OC?
I did.
Yeah,
excellent.
He was on that.
It's all on Hulu. Did you know?
I did know
yeah.
because I was watching The Bachelorette the other day and I watched the last episode and then they just started an OC episode and I was like, oh my god.
Because they're like, whoever's watching The Bachelorette wants to watch the OC.
That's what they really
probably.
Want.
Yeah, or they just need to know it's on here because they're going to be like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yep, that's it.
Uh-huh.
I
mean, I feel like everyone has this opinion I'm about to share. But no, maybe not. I think Cher's number one. Number one diva for me. Her, no, I've said on the show Celine before, but Cher just has.
Oh, Celine.
Celine is
the personality, though.
I honestly can't rate them. They
you can't
all
rate
have
them.
Their own special. Like
that's
Celine,
true.
You can't compare Celine to Cher.
That's true.
No,
that's
you
true.
Can't. It's very hard.
But Cher has just been since day one, since
yes.
the days of Sunny and Cher, like just this funny, sardonic person, and she's evolved into this like caricature, but still like so charming in interviews and like. God, she was even doing an interview with RuPaul in the 90s on VH1, and she was just so funny. She's funny. She makes fun of herself.
She, like, can handle... She had, like, a variety show, and
yeah.
then it was, like,
yep.
she went from that to, like, a pop career, but then she was, like, an actress.
Serious
and
actress.
Actress.
That's
and
the
And then
thing.
She did it. It's, like, she just is, like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll do that. I can do that. I'll do that. I'll try that.
She's really good at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, you could even debate how good she is at everything. Like, I don't think she's a 10 in any area.
But at least she's
but
a solid
she's
8.
A, but she's a, clearly a 15.
Yeah.
And as something altogether.
As just, like, you just can't take your eyes off.
No.
Yeah.
Superstar.
This is the irony of ironies is that my father's favorite Western culture song is Believe by Cher. And I don't have it in me.
He's gay.
To tell him.
Well, gay father.
I can't tell him that Cher is a gay icon and that this is a very queer song because he would just immediately hate it and it would ruin the song for him.
So
and you have this kind of special thing where it's like you could put it on and he'd be like, oh, great.
Yeah.
And you'd be like. Oh yeah, great.
We would both enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
You guys want
to
know what he calls
it? Would he dance to it?
He will sing along to it and he doesn't know the actual title of the song because he only refers to it as Bowen, play that a la la song, which is his phoneticization of after love, he calls it a la la.
Okay.
So it's the a la la song to him. It's like, I'm
no
it's,
matter how.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
That
so
whole
good.
Album. Oh.
It is such a gay song.
It's oh. it's such a
I love song. It. I think Bob the drag queen had a bit. Were you with me when we saw him live, like before that he was ever
before
on
he was
Drag,
in Drag Race.
Race? And he was saying how, like, he was, like, getting driven around by his mom, and it was when Believe was becoming popular, and you just hear the beginning of, like, they're like, dew, dew, dew,
yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
he just, like, felt something change yeah. in him yep. when it played, and his mom knew, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I have a gay kid.
It is a very sort of seminal album,
yep.
I will say.
Oh, yeah. And then, well, there really wasn't that much else on that album, though.
Taxi, Taxi was a song. Song for the this
Taxi.
Is a song.
This is a song for the,
lonely.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
that on that
song
album?
The Lonely's on that album.
Oh, great. Well, then I love.
I mean, I just want to say Cher.
She had like wintry blonde hair on the album cover, right?
No, it was black.
Oh, okay.
But I just want to say the children have forgotten Cher because now it's like, oh, she tweeted something so funny.
Yeah, that
like,
is a shame.
Yeah, it's like she has such a massive canon of stuff to
yes.
watch. Or it's like you put her into YouTube, it's like, this is from 1960. It's like, fuck.
It's
yeah.
like she walks out
like
in a...
60 years of shit to watch.
60 years yeah. of shit to watch. And not to, like, just objectify or anything, but her body...
Oh, my, yes. Mm-hmm. Beyond...
On Sonny and Cher was just, like, just so
snatched.
Lean, so snatched.
Just, like, cigarettes and cocaine
yes.
body.
And that... But the but it was so beautiful. And the
oh,
hair, the way the
beautiful.
Hair felt.
Beautiful.
I mean, just a dream.
That's Rue's number one, is Cher.
Is Cher.
Yeah.
But she's so... smart and funny and charming
yes.
movies. I can't get over her. There's just too, you don't know where to start with Cher.
I've never seen Moonstruck.
I've never seen it either. Whoops.
Have you?
She's just like a joy to watch
yeah.
do talk.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where you're like, yeah, I believe anything you say and you're dealing with this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Burlesque, I'm like, this is a great performance, Cher. Like,
yeah.
I'm
you
sure.
are dropped in.
I'll never
she
forget.
Dropped in.
I love to do the monologue that Cher gives to Christina Aguilera when Christina Aguilera is sitting there like, I don't know how to do my makeup.
Uh-huh.
And Cher's like, come here.
Yeah.
My mother would say, when you're doing your makeup, it's just like painting a canvas, except you're painting a face. And Christina like gets it.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
And then she becomes a superstar.
Yeah.
A full star.
Raise the curtain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Raise
wow.
the curtain when she goes, ha,
yeah,
ha,
yeah.
Ha.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Cher's like, hold on.
And everyone's like, wait.
The girl
qua?
Can growl.
Qua? Qua?
All
qua?
The mark of a great singer and vocalist is
a
growler.
Yeah. Imagine, like, the power going out and then someone doing that. And then it's like, no, let's keep this going. And then the band's like, I guess we'll play? Oh, God!
How can we keep up with her?
Dust off these old instruments.
Yeah. I remember, like, me being a little gay 12-year-old. There was growls in everything I sang.
Oh,
like pretending to be Kelly Clarkson singing. That was how I learned what
show
vocalization was.
Is that a Kelly Clarkson
yeah.
song?
For a time. Moment like this.
Well,
you know she did it.
Yeah.
She started at the growl. You always start at the growl if you're a pop star.
When she came to prominence on that show was when she sang R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And she did, no, no. She was like giving you growls and riffs and
belts. I'm going to say, and this is an opinion I will not take back. Growls are gimmicks. Growls are gimmicks.
They are gimmicks.
Yeah.
But they work.
Sometimes it's like, hell yeah. But sometimes it's like, oh, we don't need that.
Fine.
No, yeah, I think I don't think you ever need it. But I do like to hear it because it makes me laugh.
Well,
I think singing should be funny.
Singing should be funny. That's true.
It should definitely give you joy.
It should absolutely do that.
Oh,
it should spark
God.
Joy.
It should spark joy. You cannot
were
throw
you,
it
you
can't
were you
throw
hesitating
away
to make that a cultural rule?
I didn't want to make it a cultural rule because I'm sure I want the people to come for me on Soch because I want to have a
wow.
discussion about this. But so I don't want to canonize
with a community.
It.
You just kind of want to spark.
I do want to spark. You know what? This is people are really tweeting at us their opinions and they get really impatient with us when we don't have new episodes, which we love. because please, we want you to clamor for this.
Wait, oh, yeah, baby. What did I? Someone read us for. We did something wrong.
Oh, because we butchered the synopsis for Three's Company.
Yeah, apparently I actually didn't know what Three's Company, the television show, was about.
What did you say it was?
I said it was he was a straight guy who pretended to be gay to live with those two women.
No,
which I just believed.
What is it?
Wholesale. What is it?
Weren't they just like living together?
I think that's.
I don't think that's enough for a show. I'm sorry, I don't think that's enough for a show.
Well, it was like there was a lot of stuff that's not enough for a show.
It was different back
then.
Charlie's Angels, I mean.
Yeah, three women who are fierce with guns.
Yeah, I mean, that's a TV
fine, fine
show.
And you never see Charlie. I love it.
Yeah. Yes.
Make it a movie.
That's, you know what, you're right, that's feminist.
They should make it a movie.
And they should make another one after that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Full Throttle.
Full Throttle.
I loved Charlie's Angels movie.
Me too.
Yes, me too.
I kind of just got lost thinking about it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I had the DVD. Oh.
And I just loved, I kind of loved that the sequel was just beat for beat the same movie as the first one. Like Cameron Diaz.
I love them both.
Like Cameron Diaz has like a dance like scene with Luke Wilson. And
remember when Cameron, I'm sorry to derail the train, but Cameron Diaz is Miss Hannigan.
Oh, I never saw
Hannigan. I never saw that because you know what? I thought it would make me violently ill.
Really weird.
I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, it's amazing.
You think Carol Burnett? You think Cameron Diaz?
Like, of all people.
I mean,
you think like it's just like Jane Lynch in the Broadway version, and then Cameron Diaz in the film adaptation.
Oh my God!
Like nothing about it makes sense.
Nothing about it makes sense, but it's kind of hilarious though.
Yeah.
Because what else? I mean. Who else was miscast in that movie? Who played? Oh no, Jamie Foxx was Daddy Warbucks.
Jamie Foxx was Daddy Warbucks. Rose Byrne was what's
her
face?
Yes, yes, yes.
K'Von Jenae Wallace was
Annie.
How
was she? Was she good?
Well, she can't sing.
She can't sing.
The movie was not good.
Right.
You could argue that everyone was miscast.
But you wanted to root for it though, sort of from the side.
I mean, Jamie Foxx is talented.
Yes,
definitely.
Rose Byrne is. The most talented and beautiful,
so beautiful
creature in the world.
Incredibly smooth.
And then K'Von Jenae Wallace is talented, but it's just kind of like Cameron Diaz, I guess, yes, is talented.
You had the stars. You didn't align them.
Here's the thing. Cameron Diaz has star quality. I don't know if she's
talented
in terms of versatile acting, giving you everything. I think that she, when she's directed well, can be phenomenal. Like, I think that
My Best Friend's Wedding
is I think she's amazing in it.
That was her first fucking role.
Well, After the Mask.
After the Mask.
She was good in The Mask. She did what she needed to do in The Mask.
Yeah.
And then Best Friend's Wedding, it's like that
so
whole
good.
Movie relies on that you buying that character.
That
and
you
also,
have to like her.
Julia Roberts, you like too, despite that character being awful as well. I think My Best Friend's Wedding is like one of the underrated great romantic comedies.
Well, it was like weirdly set a template that was never followed again. Does that make sense?
Yes,
like,
it was like, oh, this is the way. But then
no one ever did that, right? It's like, it was a romantic comedy that like was ultimately sort of a tragedy in the end. Like, there wasn't another guy for her to go to. She was kind of like... it was a tragedy.
Spinster.
Like she was a spinster.
Say it to Bowen.
Yeah, she dies. Spinster. She dies at the end.
She dies at the
end.
She gets crushed by the cake.
That's what a spinster is.
Yeah.
and then, no, but then, yeah, like no one ever really... followed that.
Is this the was that wait did the moment I wake up before was
yes.
that in that
yeah, yeah.
That
was in that
that's
Rupert Everett.
That is a iconic moment in
that
this
is iconic.
Many iconic moments in that. Also, I always say one of my favorite scenes
the opening.
In any romantic comedy, well, the opening's great, but it's when Cameron Diaz, like Dermot Mulroney, has like run away, and Cameron Diaz has trusted Julia Roberts to go ask him what's wrong, and Julia's of course, you know, has her hijinks. She goes back and she's going to tell Cameron that he's not, doesn't want to be with her anymore.
So the
way that she does this is she does this creme brulee analogy.
Yeah.
She says, you're creme brulee. You're perfect. You're irritatingly perfect. Suddenly, he realizes he doesn't want creme brulee.
Yeah.
He wants something else. Cameron goes, what does he want? Jell-O. And she's like, I could be Jell-O. And Julia's like, you're never going to be Jell-O.
It's an insane scene.
It's so good, but they're so good.
They're so good. They're
I mean, it's such a weird scene, but they're so
they're
good.
They're both so good.
And Cameron Diaz will never be Jell-O.
Yeah.
She will never be Jell-O.
She's like, I have to be Jell-O. And also, one of the great iconic moments in that movie, which I think made her a star, was the karaoke scene.
Yes.
I don't really remember. But I remember, I can see like the kind of shot of her like jumping around.
She's petrified. And Julia Roberts thinks the way that she's going to break her down is by making her sing karaoke
in front of all these people.
And she's petrified. And she really starts to cry and break down when she realizes she has to.
And she's like, she starts off super shaky. She's nervous. She's about to like fully break down. But then like, eventually she wins everybody in the room over, and then it's
she's just so endearing.
Yeah. It's a triumphant ending, and then like Julia Roberts' character is like, fuck.
And it's because Cameron Diaz is endearing in a real way.
Wow, I mean, you know what? Like, talking about this now, I'm just like, yeah, like Cameron, and in Charlie's Angels too, like, full star, she does not get the credit she deserves.
No, she jumps off that screen. I mean, there was a reason why she was like number one for a minute.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was.
Her salary was up there. She was getting paid like 20 mil.
Out of all three Charlies, Angels.
She was making the most money.
I saw The Sweetest Thing in theaters with like a babysitter, and I was too young. It was like a rated R movie.
Yeah.
Like, let's see this movie. And then there was a scene where like her mouth or like, someone's mouth gets caught on a dick or something like
yeah,
that.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like the tongue ring gets caught on his dick. There's something
yes,
where it's
yes.
like
yes.
the shot is her mouth over a dick for like 10 minutes of trying to get like a dick out of this person's mouth. And then my babysitter was like, don't tell your parents I took you to see this movie. And I was like, I won't. But then we were like chuckling about it. But it was this like secret, oh, cool.
Yeah,
I'm not telling my parents saw this dirty movie. I'm 9.
Yeah,
or whatever the
hell. You gotta though, because oh my god, yeah, this happened with me with Something About Mary, mm-hmm. and
yes, the
it
cum
was
in the hair.
The cum in the hair, and it was just all these. It was like three Chinese families at a dinner party, and we were all like, "Let's watch a movie." And I was like, "Yeah, like what, 7?" Mm. And then they played it, and I just did not understand what was going on with the cum in the hair thing. And they were like, "Yeah, it's gel."
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Oh, but Cameron has
also
gel.
You mentioned The Sweetest Thing, which brings me to another rule of culture.
Yes,
it's rule number 34 of culture. Christina Applegate
always steals the movie.
Always.
I can. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
She's the great icon of our time.
She's the great.
Wait a minute. Am I thinking of Christina Applegate when I think of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter.
That is
dead.
The ultimate. If I could be in any remake of anything, it would be that.
That should be you.
Like, can you imagine just like babysitting? I'm like, no, now I'm in corporate fashion, and I like, oh God, how do I juggle this? Like, are
I
you
think
kidding?
Only
give
you
me
could,
that script.
Only you could do it.
Oh.
Yeah, Peter.
Only you could do it.
It's so good. And then she has like a fashion show at her house.
Yes.
And she's like she's like playing a 40-year-old woman with kids.
Yes.
She's like 16.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But you buy it. You totally buy it.
Because she's like 25,
yeah.
but playing an 18-year-old. So she looks old. It's just perfect.
Yeah. That was like, while she was doing Married with Children.
Oh, yeah.
So when they were like, you're a star. But then
she fucking was such a star. She is.
She's funny.
She is. Talk about staying power.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and now she's a star of the stage. She's on Broadway.
Wait, she did Sweet Charity. She was nominated for a Tony.
Which she did? Oh, yeah. She 10 years ago, right?
It was a while back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was nominated for a Tony for Sweet Charity.
That's
famously
right.
broke her foot during a performance and finished the whole week of shows.
I remember.
Yeah.
I think Christina Applegate is gunning for that EGOT.
What does she?
I don't
have?
Know.
I don't think she has any of them.
She doesn't have anything. But like, think about what she's done. She's done Broadway. She's obviously done movies, TV, and maybe she can sing.
She is one where I would love to see that happen.
Yes,
I would love to see Christine Applegate one day like blow everyone away and win an Oscar and
yes.
like in like yeah. a sort of you don't see it coming but it happens way, like I guess for Jennifer Hudson it happened
sure.
like that.
A Mickey sure. Rourke way where it's like
exactly
oh,
like,
this
where it's like
return to the top.
Yes.
And you know who else?
Matthew McConaughey.
You know who I think it will happen for? Matthew McConaughey is a perfect example.
Yeah, but who?
Judy Greer.
Oh,
but to me Judy Greer is like a like
everyone loves her.
Yeah, like
there's you can't deny
a fan of her.
Yeah,
I think, but she has to start that inflection now. Like she has to start turning that ship around. Not that it's going anywhere
yeah.
bad, but it's like she should start.
She was in
campaign.
The Descendants.
Oh right,
she had like a big dramatic part in that movie, The Descendants, with George Clooney, which I think was a shit movie.
Which was like 8 years ago. Though,
yeah,
right?
I guess you're right. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, that movie was like every sad dad.
Yeah, I hate that.
Like,
well,
I
realized that Alexander Payne movies are insufferable.
Oh, they're the worst.
Well, it's like George Clooney is like playing a Hawaiian.
Horrid.
Who did? What's the Aloha?
Oh, God,
Cameron Crowe.
Cameron Crowe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Cameron Crowe, who, man, I used to love.
Why did you used to love him?
Because Jerry Maguire was just like...
Okay,
really
Jerry Maguire is super Maguire. Permissible. Almost Famous, not permissible for me.
Well, okay, explain. I secretly love Almost Famous.
I don't like that movie. It doesn't hold up because of the gay panic.
Oh, yeah.
There's gay panic in it? I've seen like a part of it, I think.
The plane scene.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They hack joke it up when they all think they're going down in the plane. Like, all of Stillwater's this plane, and the plane's crashing, and they're all, like, telling each other their secrets, and the one guy's like, I'm gay! And then the plane writes itself,
I know.
And it's this, like, comedic climax of the movie, and it's like, really?
Okay, you're right. You know what? I rescind my opinion.
You can do that.
Here. It's a rule. I, like... Hate, love, hate, whatever, Elizabeth Town. Especially with fucking Paula Dean acting.
Paula Dean is acting in that movie?
Yeah. She plays his aunt.
Which I remember thinking, like, wow. Like, because I loved food celebrity. I loved celebrity chefs.
Yes, when me too,
I
was, me like, too.
It was food like, celebrity. I love calling them food celebrities.
I was trying to think of the other
like
day.
Like
Katy
Perry, a food celebrity.
I was thinking of a joke walking up the... It was like... Oh, I'm a celebrity chef. And then it was like, no, I'm a celebrities chef. And I was like, that's not funny, but I will think of it and then throw it away.
I think there's something there.
There's something there. But Paula Dean was a celebrity chef.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then she was a mom in a film. And I remember thinking like, wow, you've made the jump from like your set, your home in Savannah, Georgia, to now this like film with Kirsten Dunst, like playing her mom.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
I
oh,
can't.
Did you know this? Paula Dean used to be agoraphobic. Like, she would not leave the house. Like, she was a shut-in. Mm-hmm. She was terrified of
that
going
out. That explains a lot of her comments.
Absolutely. Like, I'm saying she's still, like, a disgusting, poisonous demon. Succubus. But I just find her fascinating. And it's just so funny that she's in Elizabeth Town. And she's like, oh, you look that. Like, she's just stupid.
No. I can't. I watched Elizabeth Town recently. It was on the apartment. And
it's horrible.
And I thought, oh, there's obviously like 10 minutes left. The movie went on for an hour and a half. I was like, it's felt like the end the whole time.
It's like a 2.5 hour movie.
And then at the end, when Susan Sarandon does that dance.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Elizabeth Town. Susan Sarandon plays Orlando Bloom's mother.
Really?
Yes. And she does a dance at the end on the stage.
Oh.
Positive. And then everything starts to
come
down.
In like a Ricky and the Flash kind of thing?
Oh.
Did you see it?
I did not. Oh, I hear it's horrible.
It's like she's doing it. Wait, listeners of Las Culturistas, confirm this. Susan Sarandon like gets up on stage and does a dance. It's like her ex-husband, who's Orlando Bloom's father's like funeral or something.
Yeah.
And then something happens where the like hanging pieces from the ceiling start to fall.
Oh no! Too much.
Too
stuff.
Much.
But it's bizarre.
But see, that's not the ending.
And the whole time, Kirsten Dunst taking pictures.
Yeah. Okay.
That
okay.
don't exist.
Right, that was
her kind of thing. It was like she's a photographer.
She's a photographer. Oh, but that movie was the origin of the term.
MPDG.
Yeah, Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Like I forgot which critic coined that phrase, but it was.
I thought it was for Garden State.
No.
That she's lumped in with that.
She's lumped in with that because Elizabeth Town is so derivative of Garden State. But
aren't they both in New Jersey?
No, that Elizabeth Town is in Kentucky.
Oh, it's a southern thing.
Yes.
Hence the Dean.
What was it?
Oh, you look dead like your father. Like, I don't know.
It's so
fun. Oh, you look dead like your daddy.
There you go.
Yep.
Thank you.
You
look like your daddy. That's my Paula Dean impression.
And Orlando Bloom.
Here's the thing about Orlando Bloom.
He was naked recently
with his dick out, like very near to Katy Perry's back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have a story about him.
Oh, I've told it on the pod before.
Okay, tell me later.
He was screaming crazy into McDonald's.
He was in front of me at McDonald's at 3 a.m. on 14th Street.
Oh no.
And he was just screaming and just yelling at the people behind the counter about he was like, why aren't you feeding this homeless person who is standing next to me? He was advocating for the homeless.
Okay.
But not gracefully.
Right.
Any other actors?
Katy Perry.
Hmm?
Katy Perry.
Like a Katy Perry.
Lacking grace.
Lacking grace, but with questionable intention. Okay, let's take this moment now to read off one of our rules of culture.
Yes, it's a fan-submitted rule of culture.
Yes, and let me just pull this right now. Oh, I think...
Which fan?
I believe this is from our very good friend... Sudi Green.
Oh,
yeah,
I saw Sudi while I was getting a coffee 2 days ago.
Oh, where?
Was it at Variety or whatever?
No, it was in, I was on my way to work and I stopped at the Whole Foods on Bedford and Forest.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
And I got a coffee there.
Yeah.
Because they had the almond milk I like.
Ah.
So she walks in from swimming and she's like, oh my God. And we had kind of a convo in line.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like a enjoy your day.
Oh,
seeing comedians
nice.
First thing in the morning is the best. I see Annie Donnelly sometimes.
Oh my God.
She's a treat to
it's
us.
It's a treat.
We got to get her. We got to get her on.
We will.
Start
that'll be a wild fucking
joy.
Coaster.
Yeah.
Of an episode.
Annie Donnelly. Did you get? Did Annie Donnelly read you?
No, I didn't put my name on that thing yet.
Okay. Well, she's done. The library's closed.
Okay,
she
that's
said.
Fine.
But I mean,
I'll just
comedian Annie Donnelly recently posted on Facebook, comment on this or like this status and I'll read you like a fucking drag queen. And so a lot of people commented and liked it and they got read. Now, what did she say about you, Bowen?
She said about me, here was her read. I'm going to paraphrase. She goes, do your parents know your secret? No, not that you're gay, that you're honestly trying to break into the podcast circuit. Which I
read.
I loved it.
She said about me, Matt Rogers, if I ever want to find out what's happening in pop culture, I just have to go to your feed. If I ever want to find out everything I ever need to know about you, I need to talk to you for 5 minutes, you loud bitch.
She's so...
Read!
So, she just cuts it down.
She cuts it down.
You gotta love.
God.
This is our second fan-submitted rule of culture. Mm-hmm. From Sudi Green, rule number 891.
This, so many.
The sibling of a pop star may have one good album, and that is it. So I have questions about this.
Your exhale there.
Burden.
Because
burden
I,
of a rule.
Burden of a what a burden of mm-hmm. a rule. Because I was like, yeah, okay, sure. But then,
Ashley Simpson.
No.
Well,
Simpson,
she had one.
Metamorphosis.
No, autobiography.
Right, autobiography, whatever. That's Hilary Duff.
Metamorphosis was Hilary Duff. They've all gone through changes.
But No, Solange. I would count Solange as a sibling of a pop star who has
I would too.
Who has transcended that sort of label and released her own body of work that is
also to be honest, there is Janet Jackson.
Of course, yeah, you can't. You know what this rule?
Sudi, I boo.
Wow, are we refusing to?
I don't refuse it, but it's just there are such good
exceptions
to this rule,
yeah.
Such as Janet Jackson.
There you go.
Yeah, you know what, Sudi? I'm sorry.
We reject this
rule. We reject this rule.
Guys, the stakes are high. Even if you submit a rule of culture for us to include and canonize, there's a chance that we will reject it outright.
And that's not on us. That's on you, and you have to go to bed with that.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
Because mm-hmm. we don't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
We work for Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Yes. Now, Peter, tell us a little bit more.
You're making a face!
About?
Okay, you're going... I saw you on the street.
Uh-huh.
You were wearing this... beautiful pink shirt.
Oh,
and what, you don't want to talk about this?
See, now all of a sudden,
no,
bashful,
I was looking at your shirt. Okay, are we talking about Joanne?
Yes, we are.
Okay,
we're talking about Joanne. So Peter is wearing this pink shirt that says 2004 64th Sturgis Rally, Live to Ride, Ride to Live, SD, South Dakota. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So it's got a beautiful,
it's bright pink,
beautiful hot roddy motorcycle there. Bright pink, looks fantastic on Peter.
Thank you.
And I said to them, I think they even said, this is just giving off Joanne vibes.
Because like, I was looking at your shirt, let's all, for the listeners at home,
okay.
Bowen is wearing a Lady Gaga brand t-shirt.
Yes, it's a black shirt with just a simple
yes,
embroidered Lady Gaga.
She is simple now. And
she's scaled it back.
She's pared it down now.
Yep.
And I am wearing the shirt that, because when I was along I-90,
mm-hmm. which is in what state?
It's a highway that goes through many states, but it's how you get from Chicago to Montana.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I would drive a lot as a kid, and we would get Sturgis. It was like we would always drive, and Sturgis is this motorcycle rally. And so for most of the trip, it'd be like surrounded by thousands of motorcycles on this road. This highway, and it was like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, because they just were like boom past for a long time.
It's jarring, yeah.
So I drove there a few years ago and I got this shirt because I was mm-hmm. like, cute.
Yeah.
It was a gas station. And then I saw your shirt, and then I have anxiety about this shirt because it's it's like Joanne.
Because it's pink.
The aesthetic of Joanne.
Sure.
Her look of Joanne.
It's like girly.
Like girly, like Western wear.
Yes. Girly Americana.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
And she looks good, but I just was like, oh, this is like now, unfortunately, she's branded my, you know, image of this. Which right. She's done her job.
She took that from you.
But yeah. I wouldn't have made that connection necessarily. And, well, but now you've imprinted
well,
that
obviously
on me.
It's in...
And
mind.
And Peter, a couple weeks ago, Peter has a great Instagram story. It's one of the superior ones out there, I will say. But Peter had
high praise.
A sequence of images one night of Lady Gaga photos, mostly during the Art Pop / Cheek to Cheek era, yes. where she was wearing a lot of caftans, a lot of. She had just lost one of her. Costume designers, art directors, Nicola Formichetti, who went on to work for Mugler, I think. But
he was already working for Mugler.
We can get into
the semantics of all of this.
We can. But basically, she was sort of at sea with her aesthetic for
exactly.
a while. And she was wearing a lot of really funny, goofy things. I think it's sort of perfect. Like, it reflects the messiness of that time for her. But she was also she'd also sort of put on some weight. She like filled out a little bit, and Peter was just viciously posting these photos.
It was not vicious.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry.
There was like five pictures of her in these looks where she, I guess, is like,
it was unflattering.
Some of them were unflattering. one of them was unflattering.
Yes. But I laughed, and I didn't necessarily think, oh, this is a malicious thing. But I said, Peter, these Lady Gaga. I texted Peter. I was like, these Lady Gaga photos.
That she is a vessel to, I don't know. Like, I think we put some stuff emotionally into her. Where like some
Absolutely.
Point, and that time uh-huh. of her like eating a lot and like wearing dumb outfits. I'm gonna say it, dumb.
They were dumb
outfits
we
because
can say that.
She was. At sea without yes. someone to say like wear this, it's really cool.
Right.
and which people need to know that she had a great team working for.
Right.
And I don't know, I was just feeling it.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, okay, mood.
I'm not taking you to task for this necessarily. I just thought it was very funny and it affected me because I do have this emotional investment. And so I texted Peter and I said, I forgot what I said.
You're like, what is this?
What is this? But then they said, this is just this is reflecting my weight journey. It's like, well, me too, because I feel like I'm going through this now where I'm like, it's summer. I can't fit into my shorts from last year, all this stuff. And I think this is a conversation worth having. We've talked about bodies before.
Yes. Weight journeys through the lens of Gaga.
Sure.
But just in general. Well, this is like, yes. And then after this time period of these like outfits, she had her like, my body is, you know, like Adele can be fat, but I can't. Thing that she said. Remember,
yeah,
she said
that was pretty
messy.
That
was kind of weird.
Yeah. It was weird, and
it was obviously come out of a crazy insecurity.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's like, I mean, how would you react if everyone's talking about your body? I mean, talk about it, like, oh yeah, it is such a weird time because it's like, I guess not the beginning of the summer anymore.
No.
But it's just past that point where it was like, well, I really didn't get ready for the summer. In terms of my body. And now it's like
in
too
terms
late.
Of like the social events where then you are judged on how you look like without any clothes on.
Yes.
Sure. But
yes.
I didn't even. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's just at that point now where it's like, okay, it's July. Like, this is it for this summer.
I mean,
again, I didn't do it. I didn't get it right for the summer again. And this is what it is.
Sure.
I saw you both in midriff bearing. Tees last night.
Sure.
Well, I saw Sluck in midriff bearing tees.
Yes, that wasn't us. That was Sluck.
That
was Sluck.
I didn't know like the persona.
Sluck, for everyone that's listening that doesn't know, is Bowen and I's
garbage dance duo.
We lip sync to trashy songs and pieces of little clips, and it's disgusting. We have a full face of makeup and little shitty shirts, and we go out in our underwear, and we lip sync and perform.
So Peter saw us last night.
And I was going to say, you both looked gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
But this Gaga weight journey, I was feeling it, and I was like, okay, this is the only thing that can just, like, sum up what I'm feeling right now.
Okay, that's fair.
Because I was, like, trying on outfits for a show, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Sure. And then these pictures of her just like chilling, walking out of a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the weird cheek to cheek stuff where
but she was wearing.
She like wore an afro. It's like, you can't. What are you
oh, yeah.
doing?
She was going crazy there for a minute.
It was really strange.
Sure.
And
that
bad.
like black like afro.
Yeah.
Curly afro. Yeah. I kind of loved it. She sang Bang Bang in that,
she
right?
She sang Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In kind of a My Cousin Vinny sort of thing.
Or even even a Moonstruck thing.
Yeah.
Or like Cher at the Oscars for Moonstruck.
Like gigantic.
Gigantic wig. Black wig. Yeah. No, yeah. She sang Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Down live. With Tony Bennett. It wasn't a duet, but she sang it herself. And I've gotten so much mileage out of just covering her rendition of that at the duet.
You really have.
So much mileage.
It's a showstopper. Have you ever seen Bowen sing that song?
You, I thought you've seen me do this. Okay, well, next time.
Here's what I think we have to do. I think Las Culturistas has to do a live show at the duplex at some point.
Yes.
And we have to have Bowen's performance of Bang Bang.
I would love a
Shot Me Down.
I would love a musical
episode
themed live show.
Yeah.
Not musical theater. I just mean like songs or sort
of. We do know a pianist.
We know a pianist.
We're familiar with a pianist.
We've got many singers, friends who are singers. Oh my God, have you heard Peter sing?
Yes, I have.
But Torn?
By Natalie Imbruglia?
Yes.
Natalie Imbruglia.
Oh my God. I was going to bring this up earlier. Peter at their show, was it Chum's Jubilee?
Mm-hmm.
Sings the most hauntingly beautiful rendition of Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
It's a good song.
It's a great song. Oh my God, it's the lyrics are so good.
It's a classic song. Gaga's got to cover it on Cheek to Cheek too.
No.
Only the standards.
I wish.
It's Cheek to Cheek, but it's a two.
Right. And it's
and Tony Bennett's dead.
Long dead.
He's been long dead.
Long
she's half-nerd. Just wheeling him around.
There you go. I mean, it kind of felt like that at some point.
Oh, definitely. She's like, Tony! It was weird.
The Grammy, she's like, I love Tony. And then I think Tony Bennett really does think Lady Gaga's first name is Lady.
I think so, too.
And in all the songs, he's like, Lady!
I think this cheek-to-cheek body time was when she started doing like plastic surgery on her face.
Oh, sure.
She certainly looks different.
Because she got...
She got lip injections, I think.
Yep.
She had Botox, too.
There was some... She, like, did a Frank Sinatra performance or something like that, and it was like her face was...
She's gotten a facelift.
Different.
Sure.
And that was, like, a turning point for me, being like, whoa, your face is now new.
Yeah,
her
it
face
looks
is
different
new,
than it was.
Yeah.
But there is still a sort of Streisand-esque quality about her profile, that the nose is just juts out, and it's very bold and sharp. And I like that. I think she still maintained the essence. And
the thing about Gaga is, like, there were so many years where you didn't really know where she looked like. You know what I mean? Like, when she first came out, her bangs were so in her face, and, like, she was in such heavy costume. Like, you never, and such intense makeup, like, you never really got a sense of what she looks like. And so now I feel like people don't really talk about Gaga and how much plastic surgery she has or hasn't had.
Because her face wasn't really a part of the thing.
It wasn't.
Because she did, like, she would, like, contour differently some days, and it was like, your face looks different.
She would line her lips crazy some days.
Yeah.
Like, you really didn't have a sense of what her, quote-unquote, makeup-free face looked like until maybe, like, You and I, where she just, like, wasn't wearing anything. Or even Bad Romance was the first time that it was unobstructed. It was like, oh, there's not a... fucking like
bang,
yeah, like not a banger, you know, like a fucking
iPhone
chrome iPhone on your face.
yeah
But no, I mean that's kind of brilliant on her part, I will say, that she like kept the image so whatever flexible. Okay. But I didn't mean to force this weight conversation on all three of us.
No
I mean,
listen,
I'm down.
I was thinking to myself, like, because I've been thinking about it, and I was thinking to myself, imagine looking in the mirror and being like, fuck yeah.
Some people do that.
I know, but imagine what that would feel like.
And I don't know if... Yeah, I mean...
What, like,
people,
like,
would
that
fix
all
your... would that fix all the problems?
No.
That's how people get eating disorders, when they think that it fixes all the problems.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it doesn't. But by... Summer, there are so many just like hot people walking around with no
that
clothes
like,
on. And I'm like,
darn it.
I'm not like, darn it. I'm like, thank you.
See, yeah.
Thank
I mean,
you.
I
will eat these Oreos right now. Thank you.
I love to look at hot people. And then part of me is like, am I turned on by them, or am I jealous of them, or what? I think it's obviously a vicious human combination of everything.
We
it's complicated.
The greatest
Yeah, we're game. So complex.
What is that? The great? Is it the greatest game?
The most dangerous.
The
game.
The most dangerous game.
Which is about humans hunting each other.
Yeah.
Which I would love to bring back.
As a reality show with mm-hmm. Jillian Michaels.
Jillian!
And you're hunting your skinny self.
Yes. Oh, that's fun.
Peter, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How do you think Bowen and I would do on The Amazing Race?
Just hypothetical.
Is there a doubt in your mind that you wouldn't win?
Absolutely.
100%, but only because I'm garbage. I think Bowen would win.
No, because I don't have the stamina for it, and I don't have the patience for it, and I think I'm a good problem solver, but there is a critical...
Bowen, you're a certified genius.
He's a certified genius, speaks multiple languages, and I have great ground speed. Like, I can get places very fast.
Yeah, and you can risk it all for, you can grab something fast.
Yes, I would grab things the fastest. We did escape the room, and I was always like, over here!
I want to do that. Yeah, like you keep it, and Bowen's like, oh, wait, now I think you would 100% win the damn prize.
I can't, I would refuse to swallow, a mole rat or
but
whatever
I would do
the
it.
Fuck they do.
They do that?
I don't know.
Fear Factor?
I don't really
I wanted to go on Fear Factor when I was a kid.
You would do great on Fear Factor.
I was like, put me in that tarantula
Are
pit.
Are you fearless in that way?
I think I just was like, this would be crazy because there are so many cameras on you that you're like, is this real?
Yeah.
And then you're like, I guess it is, but like, if I die, then this whole thing's going down. So they don't want me to die. So this is a weird environment where things are enabled, but you're being I want to get on that.
Either you get on that or you host the fucking reboot.
The reboot of Fear
Factor. Do you
Factor.
Know who? Oh, do you know
hell yeah.
Who won Celebrity Fear Factor once?
Who?
Omarosa.
Wow.
Oh. Because the final challenge is like to go into a room facing. Omarosa. She just broke the mirror staring at herself.
Omarosa.
She won Celebrity Fear Factor. Guess who she beat? Nikki McKibben from American Idol season 1.
Oh my god.
I don't even know who that is.
She was in third place. The pink haired rocker.
She was a Jennifer Hudson.
She was a Jennifer Hudson by rank, yes. But she was the upset third place because she beat out Tamira Gray. Yeah. Anyway.
But not an American Idol queen sitting in front of us.
I American Idol rubs me the wrong way.
It should.
Oh, absolutely.
It's an evil
it's
show.
Horrible.
It's an evil show.
The like making fun of people.
Yep.
Singing.
Yeah.
However they want. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, we have friends who like have been personally.
It's
victimized.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's horrible.
It's horrid.
But no, I mean, I think there needs to be
TV is evil.
TV's evil, just in general.
Except the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, yes, of course. Wait, how far are you?
I've seen 3 seasons.
Okay, the ones that are on Netflix.
Yeah,
I need to catch up.
I haven't pursued further.
Are you a fan? What are your thoughts on Chetna? Come on. This is such an important question, Peter.
The Great British Baking Show finds its success.
Yes.
On... not tearing anybody down. Or
I'm not asking you to tear her down.
I think she's talented.
The only reason I ask is because, first of all, I will say I found her to be...
Is she the Middle Eastern one?
She's Indian.
Indian.
And she... I found her to be a little bit not compelling to watch, which is not the point, but she was just... It's kind of the point. It's TV. But she does have an amazing cooking channel on YouTube. She bakes, obviously, but she makes amazing... native dishes. She does. I can't taste it, so I couldn't say definitively. But it looks.
That's
like the most
thing
amazing
with those cooking shows.
But it looks like the most amazing butter chicken and chicken and chicken tikka masala and biryani. Oh my god.
Okay, so
absolutely.
There's a lot of garbage with those cooking shows, though, because you can't taste it, and also, I heard tea that none of the contestants can taste each other's food. On all these cooking shows.
Wait, why?
Specifically, I'm talking about...
Top Chef?
Not Top Chef. I'm talking about Master Chef.
Okay.
I hear...
What is this?
That...
You're like
you
such
have to
trepidation.
Leave the,
I know.
Such the
because
fear
I don't
want
to say something
eyes.
I'm not supposed to say.
Okay, I get that.
You leave the room.
We're all...
People taste your things.
I know
and then
why
you come back, and then
the
they
gone.
Give the critiques.
And it's like, you're never allowed to taste each other's food. You would never know if the person deserved to win. And as a viewer, you would never know. You have to take their word for it based on who's the best.
Sounds like Scientology.
It sounds a lot like Scientology.
You leave the room. Somebody decides something for you. You come back.
You can't question it.
You can't question it.
Is that Scientology?
Sure.
It's a bad way to do something with groups of people and secrets.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you need to make Scientology happen.
But Top Chef, I mean, they don't make... I was always confused, like, how do they get the food plated to then have, like, the shot of, you know, where they, like, show it and they do, like, the 360 view of the food. And then also they eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have more... I'm like, how many... There's servings a lot of are fuckery. You making and like 10 minutes left. I'm like, what does this actually mean? Because you probably have to plate the like
yes
close-up shot one. And the,
well, that's how I feel about Great British Bake Off too. It's like, this is impossible. I would collapse from exhaustion if I were in this situation.
Also in the heat of summer and under that tent with a bunch of ovens.
Which, no way.
No, thank you. These like ruddy British people who are like, it's very hot
well,
here.
Apparently they go home after each episode. Like they go to their own literal homes and they travel back to this
to like
beautiful.
Cuffing on Kent.
Cuffing on Kent.
Biffing on Shropshire.
You sound lovely. Shropshire.
Thank you.
I want to go to Biffing on
to
Shropshire.
Biffing on Shropshire.
Yes.
Well, that's where the Great British Baking Show season 8.
you know. Oh,
how many seasons are there?
Oh, there's been many, and the ones that are not.
Did they just come to America?
Well, there's the American one.
Oh, is
there an
American one?
Yeah. I don't want to watch that.
I haven't seen it.
With American bakers,
mm-hmm.
Are they mean?
I don't know. I don't.
Probably. It's probably like cutthroat.
Yeah.
No, they're not mean. Hot Producer Joe's shaking his head. It's on PBS, right? Yeah, he's nodding. I'm sure it's just,
oh, it's PBS?
Yes.
Oh,
and
okay.
So
then it's fucking tame as hell.
It's genteel and tame.
yeah.
All right.
Publicly funded.
Yes. We've reached the point in our show where we will I don't think so, honey, for the gods.
And guess what? Now we can really freely talk about this. On August 11th. At 8 p.m., at Littlefield, we will be doing a second edition of I Don't Think So, Honey. And you can get your tickets now online. Go to our Facebook page. Look it up. I Don't Think So, Honey, Las Culturistas Live at Littlefield, NYC. It's in Gowanus.
We have Peter Smith.
It's like, can I just say to the people listening
yes.
who might be like, should I go see this?
Uh-huh.
Like, the first one was a party.
A party. It was fun. It was really
like
fun.
It had a party going on.
Mm. It was so fun.
And everyone was just like watching this party, but they were also in the party. It's like how I felt watching Hello Dolly the other day.
Oh my God.
Word. Why didn't we talk about that?
I'm so
Hello.
Sorry.
Hello. How was it? In a short review.
It's the best thing I've ever seen.
Are you serious?
It was with Bette Midler. It was the best thing I'd ever seen.
You saw with Bette?
Yeah.
God damn it.
It was the best thing I have ever
seen. Oh my God.
I lost myself for the majority of it.
What did you think of the train?
Sure, yeah. Great. She sat on it and went off. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Man,
but like
I
just
Bette
doing bits?
Yeah.
Driving him into the goddamn ground.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like a 10-minute
having fun, huh?
She was having a great time.
Oh.
We were just there for it.
God damn it. I want to see that. I'll see it with anybody. I love me some Donna.
I want to see it with her, too.
I'd go again.
But Bette was the
I
best
heard
I've
Bernadette
seen.
Is taking over.
The rumors change week after week. First we hear
it's not Dolly Parton.
But then before that, it was someone else. It was
Reba McEntire, they said for a second.
But then it was also going to be someone else, like all crazy.
Well, Sudi went to go see it.
Yeah.
And Bernadette was there.
Oh, wow.
And she posted about Bernadette being there, and someone who really sounded like they knew what they were talking about was like, that's because she's taking over. That's the tea.
But every week, it's always someone who really knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, everyone really knows what they're talking about, and they should know that only we know what we're talking about. And I do want to say one thing. I'm so sorry. I have to say this.
Okay.
There is Orlando tea.
Okay.
All right.
By Virginia Woolf?
There is Orlando tea by
Virginia Woolf.
Orlando tea. She killed herself shortly after writing it.
Yes, that was her last.
She never published until now. So listen, as you know, I love to deliver the Orlando tea, the Orlando truth, the Orlando gossip. This is what's happening in Orlando. Let's just say there's about to be a theme park war coming your way about 2019, 2020, 2021. Okay, so let me first go over what's going to happen over at Disney World. They have released a detailed model of Star Wars Land.
Yes.
Now, this is in-depth. It shows where everything's going to be. You actually see where everything's going to be located.
Yep.
You're getting a Millennium Force simulator attraction. Apparently, it will be interactive to the point where how you do on the ride, in quotes, like in terms of like how you participate in the ride.
Yes.
While you're in the rest of the land, characters will approach you.
Oh my God.
And interact with you based on
your performance,
your heroic or failure of a performance in the ride.
So they'll berate you?
They will sleep no more you.
They're going to sleep no more you. Yes, this is the rumor. Okay. Now, obviously, some people are not going to want that. So it's going to be voluntary, I hear.
Oh,
but,
wow.
You know, they have those magic bands, which apparently that system is getting updated too. So look for that.
So you opt in to sleep no more.
Yes. So what was formerly Disney MGM Studios is now Disney Hollywood Studios is probably going to get renamed.
To Naboo.
Wait, is that the one with the big sorcerer hat?
Yes. Yeah, well, okay. it's not there anymore.
They've
taken that down, and they're thinking about they're going to demolish or take down the Great Movie Ride, replace it with rumored the Great Mickey Ride,
okay.
Which is going to be a Spider-Man Transformers-esque 3D motion simulator ride using Mickey, Donald Duck, Minnie, all those. So they're trying to move into that direction, and they don't really have a ride that uses all those characters.
No.
So essentially they're turning Hollywood Studios into like an adventure park based on their big adventure movie properties.
Yes.
So probably what's going to happen is the Tower of Terror is unfortunately going to get rethemed to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
Rock and Roller Coaster, probably same thing, probably going to be turned into something else themed to Marvel, because Marvel is also going to figure into this park.
Right.
Fantasmic, the Nighttime Spectacular show is going to get completely rethemed and updated.
Oh, wow.
Toy Story Land is opening there. They've released a lot of stuff about what's going to be in Toy Story Land.
I just want to say, Matt is just, this is off the top of his head.
This is in the last 2 or 3 days. And this has all come out.
I'm sorry. Matt just has this memorized.
To me, this is sad because, like, the aesthetic just like drag queens in general, like, I'm just still talking about this because we're all here, just looking at each other.
sort of.
Like, the aesthetic of, like, us going to Disney World and being like, oh, even just like that old Hollywood thing, like, now it's like Spider-Man. So these kids aren't going to have this, like,
enchantment
opportunity to, like, or just like, Twilight Zone was weird. Like, I loved Tower of Terror because it was like Twilight Zone.
And that will be something that people have to reckon with, is the death of that kind of old aesthetic there, because they're going to try to revamp it and do something new. And also, like, coming down is the Indiana Jones stunt show.
Okay.
So it's all coming down.
Just, I mean, wouldn't know about Twilight Zone without Disney.
Right.
A little bit, yeah.
And that's kind of like how I felt about, you know, all the old movie properties that they used to kind of, there was a lot of classic movie rides at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your Jaws, your, they still have E.T., but, like, all that stuff is kind of gone now for, like, you know, Fast and the Furious is getting a ride next year. And that's like a movie property, but it's not a classic property. They did an okay job of kind of, like, it's a franchise, right. And so they know it'll make money and they know it'll bring people in. Now, so that's happening over at Hollywood Studios, which is to be renamed and to be completely rethemed.
Yes.
Additionally, the Magic Kingdom
is getting Tron Light Cycle.
Is getting the Tron Light Cycle roller coaster. Now, originally, the T was they were going to take out the Speedway.
Oh.
They were going to take out the Tomorrowland Speedway where you drove around in the little car.
But that's changed.
Now they're saying they're going to keep that. The Tron Light Cycle coaster is going to be behind it.
Oh, okay.
Also rumored, there's going to be an in-park hotel behind the Haunted Mansion that's themed as a Haunted Mansion hotel.
This is your wildest dream.
I'm down for that.
And this is like,
I love that.
This is that's a brand new rumor.
Wow.
Now, moving over to Universal.
Okay, and this is where.
This is the gag.
And now we find out.
This is the gag.
Yeah.
So, hearing that Disney is getting the Tron Light Cycle ride.
Yep. which is a half light, half light, half dark roller coaster.
Yes, and it'll. Also,
I've been on
you,
in Shanghai.
You ride it like a bike, and Bowen has done it, and he described it as
it's Space Mountain on every drug. It's, wow. It's the most thrilling thing I've ever been on. They made me take my glasses off. So once we were in the indoor portions. Huge. I didn't have depth perception.
Yes.
It was dark all around you, but with like neon lights, and it just looked like I was in this infinity field of light, and it was blurry light, and it was gorgeous. Gorgeous.
So, Universal hears that Disney is bringing Tron to the United States,
yes.
And you know this is going to be a one-of-a-kind theme park experience,
mm-hmm.
But they are going to tear down the Dragon Challenge, formerly Dueling Dragons, iconic roller coasters
iconic.
There. You know, they were racing and inverted and dueled.
Two different roller coasters.
Near misses.
Helices into, yeah.
Right.
Oh.
They're taking it down. There's going to be a Harry Potter Forbidden Forest dark ride slash roller coaster that uses the same exact ride vehicle and technology as Tron. So basically they're coming in and saying, you're not on a broomstick. You're on that thing that Hagrid rides.
Oh.
And someone's going to be able to ride in the little thing
a
next
motorcycle.
To you in the little pod. Yes.
It's a motorcycle. It's an enchanted
and you're gonna,
motorcycle.
Exactly. It's going to be like a Hagrid ride, I guess, through the Forbidden Forest.
This is war.
Because literally right where Dragon Challenge
is
where the Forbidden Forest would be in relation to Hogwarts Castle.
Okay.
So... Yeah, so Disney's not going to be happy when they hear about that.
Okay.
Or I'm sure they're not happy now.
Yeah,
when they find out. Of course,
when they listen
to
this podcast.
Of course, I am breaking all the news. So now we're going to have another Harry Potter extreme theme park experience to be up there with Gringotts and the Forbidden Journey.
I've yet to go to Harry Potter
you
World.
You must.
I know I must.
Are you a fan of the series?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, not everybody. We can't assume that everybody is. But for
I didn't read The Cursed Child. I think I've come. Maybe
oh,
have
the,
given
no,
the new
no,
stuff.
No,
I'm like, I don't do.
We
no,
did
no.
a whole episode of this podcast about how The Cursed Child was garbage.
It's
yeah,
just
with
a,
Elise.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't.
We, you gotta go, Peter.
The seven books, and then also to have it be, like, live in it. Are you
yeah,
oh,
it's, no,
it's the same
it's
aesthetic as the movies, right? It's like the same set.
When I walked,
very similar. Yeah.
When I walked into Diagon Alley, I kid you not, it was an emotional
diagonally.
Experience. Diagonally, it was
diagonally.
The music was playing, and it just
oh,
felt
a sound pool, a sound bath,
a sound bath, and it felt like I was in fucking Diagon Alley, and I wanted to cry. Anyway,
so all of this is happening in 2020. God, also it's... in 2021, probably you're getting
Nintendo.
Super Nintendo Land in Universal Studios Florida, which
Whoa.
Is taking over the kids section of the thing. Apparently, you're getting a Donkey Kong minecart coaster. You're getting a Mario Kart sort of dark ride slash coaster and a Zelda. Apparently,
Zelda.
Like a Broadway level Zelda show.
Oh my God! There's
yeah.
my ticket to
yes.
stardom.
Apparently,
lose 20 pounds and move to Orlando.
You
yeah.
would
just
yeah,
start
Link.
Screaming.
Oh, you would be Zelda.
Just be screaming or anything. Just get me in that
I
show.
I think they should get Peter to play both Zelda and
yeah.
Link
and
wow.
Sheik.
And Sheik well,
and,
get, and Sheik, who is queer.
Give me all the checks.
Give you all the
for
checks
all,
so,
each role.
Here's the thing, guys. You gotta book your tickets for 2021.
Get
because
him.
All this new shit's going to be there. Also, you know.
Do you have yours?
Today, Bowen texted me and he goes, I was thinking about doing an impulse buy for like literally next week. And I was like, no, we have to wait. We have to wait to see
I
what's
go.
About.
You can go again.
I was just literally all
How
I was,
much was it?
It was altogether.
A
was
bit
like
much.
Under 1,000, but still. For
I
want
to go. I still haven't gone to Pandora. Bowen's been to Pandora. I haven't been
I went
yet.
To Pandora a couple months ago. But I'm just saying.
Is it?
It was fine. All it took
it was fine.
All it took for me to be inspired to text Matt to buy let's buy tickets again was I was literally just looking at a map of Florida on my laptop and I was like
why?
And smack dab in the middle was Orlando and I was like I want to go back.
What brought you to the map of Florida?
It's
shaped like a dick and I'm just drawn to phallus, but I saw Orlando on the map and I was like there was magic happening there every day.
I'm sorry
like,
I took us so far away, but I had to give the tea
okay.
because there
Disney.
Was so much tea.
Yes, you yes. love
the,
Disney.
It's not Disney. It's Orlando. It's this. It's the, everything.
It's the park culture.
It's park culture.
It's
theme
park,
park
culture.
Culture. I could also.
You've
I
been
could
to Dolly
also
World?
Into,
you've been to Branson?
Even what?
You've been to Branson? Have you been to? You've been to? Sorry. Have you been to Branson,
no, no,
Missouri?
No.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Missouri.
What's in Branson, Missouri?
It's basically Vegas for
queers.
No. In a major way, no.
In a major way.
Like, okay, the flat image, 2D image that we have created of, like, in our mind what a Trump supporter is and looks like and, like, mm-hmm. where yes. they live and all that, whatever, yeah. right. jazz, it's for that creation in our mind.
Okay.
Right.
It's catered to them.
I mean, Dolly Parton has a experience there, which is, like, Enchanted Castle, but... like a like pistol, you know, saloony
sure.
Sharpshooter show on horses. There's like a huge Madame Tussauds with like all of the kind of like fucked up, like the first tries kind of go there.
Yes.
Thank God.
First pass.
Actually, I have a picture with Hugh Hefner on his bed.
Oh my God.
In Branson.
Rest in peace.
I got to drag even. That out. On his like, it was this weird room of like, this bed that you take a picture on with him.
Oh.
And you put these ears on, and it's like in the middle of Missouri, and I'm like, this is for like Christian. Like everything has a cross on it, and everything yeah. kind of comes back to a Bible story.
Oh my God.
And we went on like a showboat, and every song had, no matter what song, it had a slideshow of Jesus behind it.
Sure.
And everyone was just eating their potato, enjoying mm-hmm. themselves. But Branson, in terms of park culture, Silver Dollar City, you okay. must go.
All right.
We'll go.
You
we'll go.
Must go. There are
if
so many
gonna go to Missouri,
beautiful ladies in like turquoise belts and long skirts and like in trios singing songs of the hills.
Will I have to dress up like a Trump voter to fit in?
No. I think I was wearing like, oh, they have a Titanic museum there.
Wow.
They have a Titanic museum where you get like a character and you go in and then you might die at the end and everybody God. Dies.
Okay. Well, have you been to Worlds of Fun in Kansas City?
No.
Okay. It's another theme park. It's like, it's pretty decent, but it is sort of like just a tier below Six Flags in okay. terms of quality, but it's pretty solid.
And safety.
And safety. I think it's a safe park. It's a safe park.
Theme parks, they're out there. Let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
This is our segment in the show yeah. where we go in a 1 minute screed against anything in culture. Matt, do you have something prepared?
I have something that I could go on about.
Okay. All right. Let's do all it. Right. So this is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Bronchitis. I have you right now, and I don't know if you've been hearing on the podcast, but I've been turning away from the mic to cough. Don't worry, y'all. I'm not contagious. Okay. Bronchitis has been very difficult for me because when you have bronchitis, you have to have cough medicine. And cough medicine, I don't know if you've ever had it, it makes you very tired.
Oh.
I have been in a fugue state for the past 3 days, you guys. I Don't Think So, Honey. Bronchitis, it makes me cough. I feel like I can't breathe. I went to the doctor the other day and I said to him, you know, this feels different.
Oh.
This feels different.
30 seconds.
And he said, let me test you. And I had a funny doctor. And I think so, honey, my funny doctor.
Okay.
He felt my chest. He said, breathe in. He goes, mm-hmm, that's good. He's like, you got a good heart too. Do you know what that means? I said, what? He said, it means you're a good person. And I laughed because it like wasn't seconds. A good joke, but you know what I mean? Like, he was making it fun for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think so, honey, and I Don't Think So, Honey, his diagnosis of bronchitis. I'm on a Z-Pack right now.
Oh.
Time will tell if 5 days is even enough for medication. I Don't Think So, Honey, the Z-Pack, I still feel congested.
1 minute. Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry.
I don't know. And you know it's not comfortable to have this in the summer.
No. Sick in the summer, it's not cool for the summer.
Not cool for the summer.
Summer.
No, summertime sadness.
Wow. Absolutely.
I just feel like, what about the Z-Pack? Like, I hope that...
Z-Packs make me break out in full body hives.
Okay, we just had Rachel Winitsky on the show. She had a vomit fest when yeah. she had her Z-Pack.
I can't do it.
You can't do it either?
Well, oh, no, I'm saying I will not do it because I've never had a Z-Pack, but all these horror stories are making me...
I blew
not,
up,
I can't
and I had
it.
Tiny dots. I was like a... Like, it was medieval what happened to me.
Oh, God.
Like a bubonic
thing. My face swollen up shut.
Oh, my God.
Rolled myself to the ER, and they, like, popped me and blood let me out.
Horrific.
Oh, my God.
Horrific.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so, you know what?
They had to pop him and blood let him.
Yeah, baby.
They draw a cord with him.
I think we can put them out of business.
It's time for Bone Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. And is he prepared?
I'm prepared.
Okay. Bone Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Final Fantasy 14 servers. I am not able to even log on to my character, Rupa, a level 51 summoner who has an amazing Garuda edgy avatar.
Oh my God.
And every time I log on, you always boot me and say that the world is full. There's a queue of 20 other players going. But then I try again, and lo and behold, I magically appear into the world. All of a sudden, I skip that line. Am I cutting other people in line? Because I don't want to do that. I don't think so, honey. I don't want to. Don't make me be that person. I don't want to be a villain in this world. Mm. I don't want people coming after me saying, hey, you cut me in the line for the queue to the world.
30 seconds.
And how are you playing in, as a level 51 summoner with a Garuda edgy avatar? And I can't. So I Don't Think So, Honey, Final Fantasy 14 servers for not being reliable. And when I go into a dungeon or a raid with eight other players who who are expecting me to support them as a DPS and deal damage to the bosses and to all the mobs. I don't think so, honey. That makes me look bad, and I do not respect you assassinating my character at Final Fantasy 14 servers. So I don't think so, honey. Squaresoft, Square Enix, Mog Station, and my Square Enix password that sometimes does not work.
That's
1 minute.
So, honey.
Wow.
You had a lot of words per minute there. That was actually your most word WPM.
You'd be
yet.
A great Thank secretary.
Thank you. Secretary. Yeah. Great stenographer.
Secretary.
I don't think so, honey. I am not prepared because I think the best thing that happened at your show, which I hope happens at the next one, if I may say.
Troll Bowl?
The Fish Bowl.
Yes.
Is the best
The
way.
Troll Bowl will return. And in fact, we have what you're saying, Peter, is that you like the Troll Bowl.
I think you should mandate it. I think everyone should just pop in.
I can,
damn, it's funny.
I can give you a
it's
Troll
so
Bowl.
Funny.
Please give me a Troll
okay.
Bowl.
Okay. Okay. Got it. All right. Great. Peter Smith, your topic is the hardworking middle class, and your time starts now.
Yeah, I don't think so, hardworking middle class. Yeah, I don't want to see, complaining about gas prices as you're trying to get to the Gap at the mall. Yeah, I don't think so, honey. I don't think so. You talking about going paleo? Yeah, I hear you over there. I hear you over there, college kid whose parents are a hardworking middle class. Yeah, I don't think so, who are paying your ass to get through college. Yeah, yeah. Oh, now you're complaining about, your different diet you're going on. Yeah, that's bullshit, all right? Because your parents, yeah, they're doing their jobs. They're getting in the way of their own happiness because they're working too hard. I don't think so, working too hard. I don't think so, very hard working middle class, because you know what? You've given up on something and you're devoting your life to money.
And that's 1 minute. Wow, burned them.
Wow, don't you ever, ever come for Peter Smith on his take.
Also, like the hardworking middle class.
The hardworking middle class.
Not the
not
leeches.
The lazy middle class.
No,
not the lazy.
No, no. You have to come for the hardworking middle class. Yeah. The ones who deserve to be helped out of the hole they're in.
The elbow grease.
You got to come for them.
Yes, you got to come for them because... Because
sometimes they don't always make the right decisions.
Yeah, we all got to get pegged down a couple of times.
That was a gorgeous... I don't think so, honey. You know why? Because Peter dug...
Measured,
but dug into... Just chewed into every word. I loved that.
You know, I loved it too, and I loved this episode of the podcast. I cannot wait to see Peter at the live show, as well as 49 other brave souls who are going to confront the Troll Bowl. They're going to confront the audience. They're going to confront us.
Us.
They're going to confront themselves.
They're going to confront themselves.
I liked how you called it a fool's errand.
It was a fool's errand for us to reach to get 50 people together.
Yeah.
I mean, we have lots and lots of people that will in future installments also come on, and we were just like, these are the 50, but it's a fool's errand to just organize this, but it's so fun, it's so worthwhile.
Also, you realize, I mean, I already started making a list of people that we haven't had on the first or second one, and there's a long list. Don't worry, everyone, the sun will touch your face. You will get to get up on that stage
in Gowanus.
In Gowanus.
The sun shines in Gowanus.
The sun shines over the Gowanus Canal.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, Peter.
When you sent me the invitation, I just started laughing. And no one had said anything yet. But I threw my head back and started cackling.
Wow.
August 26th. Oh, yeah. Right?
August 26th.
Oh, yeah, I'll be at Duplex at August 26th.
And we don't know the show yet, but just know that Peter will turn out an incredible performance. Oh my God.
They will be performing. And one more time, August 11th, go online and buy tickets for I Don't Think So, Honey. Last Culturistas live at Littlefield, 8 p.m.
Okay, this has been Bowen Yang.
And this has been. Oh my God.
Oh my God, what? You forgot.
I don't know.
Your name?
Karina Brunt.
And that's Peter Smith. Guys, bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.